أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. صدق الله العلي العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was essentially sent to Arabs who were nomads, who lived in the desert, who were uncouth, who had so many social ills that even in this day and age, it is hard to imagine how people would bury their daughters alive, how they would make tawaf around the Kaaba in nudity, etc. How did the effect change? How did he bring about a transformation? He did not have an army behind him, neither did he have the state with him to ensure that people would comply and bring about a transformation in human character, etc. He did what he did. He brought about this transformation purely through the power of his character, his morals, his mannerisms, etc. And this is the difference between a statesman and a Nabi. A statesman, a person of government, a ruler, a king, has the benefit of authority and legislation. So he makes rules and people have to then obey these rules. But a Nabi's approach to transformation is very different. He does not derive the power of transformation purely from rule, authority, or sovereignty. The power that creates change was almost always based on the character, the mannerisms of the Nabi. It was so perfect that people simply fell in love with the Nabi. And that love created so much of admiration that they voluntarily submitted to whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to say. And therefore Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, speaking about his mission, he says, "Bu'ithtu," that I have been sent, لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, I have been sent to perfect, to mold the character of man. That was essentially his message. It was to change the behavior of man. It was to change the character of man. It was to remold the values and ethics of human beings. And that he did through the manifestation of his own character. In the verse that I've recited before you, Allah speaks about the character of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He endorses the character of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying, "Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim," that, O Prophet of Allah, undoubtedly you've been blessed with the most sublime character. What must be the akhlaq of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam if Allah himself endorses the character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And if you look at all of the major acts of ibadah, they are designed to mold the character of man. If you look at salah that we read 5 times a day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar." That salah has within it the propensity to change fahsha, that which is obscene, that which is immoral, wal munkar, and that which is regarded as sinful, which is vice. So as we stand in prayer and submission to the command of Allah, there is a moral dynamic to salah, apart from the spiritual dynamic. And the moral dynamic is to actually create a change within the character of man. When Allah talks about zakah, again, there's a moral dynamic. One is the spiritual dynamic, but there's a moral dynamic. And Allah says, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ بِهَا. That, O Prophet of Allah, take the charity from them to purge them, to purify them. In other words, to purge their character, their love for wealth, their proclivity, their inclination towards greed is actually purged through the institute of zakah. In the same way, when Allah Ta'ala speaks about Hajj, and He says, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ, that there should be no obscenity, no vulgarity, and no contention, argument in the days of Hajj. Again, there is a moral dynamic to the five pillars of Islam. It is meant to develop and mold the character of a human being. The same applies to fasting. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you are fasting, and if a person wants to enter into an argument with him, say, I am fasting. In other words, your fast should allow you the moral strength not to respond to someone who simply wants to nitpick and argue with you. So every aspect of deen has a moral dynamic designed to better and mold the character of man. And therefore, if you look at the conduct of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he was asked by a sahabi for comprehensive advice, a sahabi came and asked the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ausini, O Prophet of Allah, advise me. Give me some advice. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the sahabi, 2 words. One word made up of 2 alphabets. He said, La takhdab. He said, do not become angry. And the sahabi felt he needed something more. And said, Ausini ya Rasulallah. Give me something, give me some more advice. Now, other words, I'm looking for something more substantive. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La takhdab. Don't become angry. So almost always, when a sahabi came for advice, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about his morality, about his character, about his mannerisms. And that is the essence of religion. Ibn Qayyim says that ad-deenu kulluhu khuluqun, that the essence of religion is moral, is your character. The essence of religion is your character. And فَمَنْ زَادَ فِي الْخُلُقِ زَادَ عَلَيْكَ فِي الدِّينِ. He who surpasses in character, one who is able to display good, upright, moral character, has surpassed you in deen. In other words, if you want to measure true piety through nobility, a true nobility, do not measure it in any other way apart from looking at the character, and the mannerisms of an individual. Because that, in fact, is the essence of religion. How do you behave? Your humility, your tolerance, your compassion, your love, your commitment to see the upliftment of human beings, your trustworthiness, your reliability. All that forms part of the essence, the moral dynamic of faith. So when we talk of religion, it is not simply a fulfillment of ritual practices. That is one very important part of your faith. Your ability to pray, fast, give charity. But there's another part of it. When a Sahabi asked Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that what is it that could pave the way for me to Jannah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said two things. He said taqwa and your character. Your awareness of Allah, your consciousness of Allah, and your character. How you deal with people. Therefore, the scholars say, Ad-deenu al-mu'amala. That religion is no more than your ability to interface and interact with people. How do you interact with people? Are you respectful? Are you dignified? Are you honest? Are you trustworthy? Are you humble? That is the essence and the core of the manifestation of your religious values and your beliefs. A Sahabi once came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Prophet of Allah, مَا خَيْرُ مَا أُعْتِيَ الْإِنسَانِ قَالَ الْخُلُقُ الْحَسَنِ. He came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked, O Prophet of Allah, what is the most prized asset that a human being can be given? Is it money? Is it fame? What is it? Knowledge? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-khuluqul hasan. It is good conduct. If you want to aspire for the most prized asset that any human being could hope for, then work towards the betterment of your character. Work towards the betterment of what you are, not who you are. Talking about character, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Innal mu'min لا يدرك بحسن خلقه درجة قائم الليل وسائم النهار. And this should bring a lot of solace to us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we all fall short in our acts of worship. We all fall short in our devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a believer is able to reach the stage of those who fast, who keep excessive fast during the days, and who spend the better part of the nights in tahajjud salah. A nominal believer is able to reach the stage of such people purely through his character. So we may not be able to fast as excessively as others, nor are we able to stand up during the night for prayer, but we can match their deeds simply through our character, through how we behave, through our humility, through our sincerity, through our ability to forgive and tolerate the weaknesses of people. Therefore, it is very significant that when the Quran talks about the salient, the characteristics of believers, I will give you just three examples. Look at where the Quran focuses. Firstly, Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. That's successful indeed are the believers. Who are these believers? الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those that are devout and humble in their prayer. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. وَالَّذِينَ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. They are those who abstain from vain talk, from futile discourse, whiling away the time. Again, one is an emphasis on prayer, but two is an emphasis on character. Those who do not spend their time in vanity. Again, at another place, when the Quran talks about a special class of believers, who are called Ibadur Rahman, the slaves of Rahman, Allah says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. They are those who walk with humility on this earth, who are unassuming, not arrogant, not proud. Their presence has, those who do not deem it necessary for their presence to be felt in every gathering. So they are humble, unassuming individuals. And وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ. And when the uncouth, people with no manners, engage with them, قَالُوا سَلَامًا. They do not respond to every invitation to an argument. They simply say peace and walk away. Again, Allah is talking about a special class of believers. And He focuses not on their prayer, but on their character, and says, these special class of believers are those that are unassuming, humble individuals who would not who do not get preoccupied in defending their egos. They will say salam and walk away. Again, in another surah known to all of us, Surah Ma'un, when Allah Ta'ala talks about those who belie religion, it's very significant. Allah says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen those who belie religion? And then Allah goes to talk about the characteristics of people who do not identify with religion, who do not identify with the values that are espoused in the Quran. What does Allah say? أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. They are those who repel the orphans. وَلَا يَحُدُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. Neither do they encourage feeding the poor. Again, it's about character. Again, it's about morality. In the same verse, Allah says, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Woe to those who pray, who stand up in prayer. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. But who are heedless of the essence of prayer. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاؤُونَ. They are driven by a need to be seen. It is their desire for fame. It is their desire, it is their pride that drives them in all the really acts of worship. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ. And they have no affinity towards doing neighborly deeds, helping each other. Again, there's an emphasis on the character of man. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Inna athqala shay'in yudha'u fi mizanil mu'min." The most heaviest of actions that will be placed on the scales on the day of Qiyamah will be khuluqun hasanun, will be your good character. That can tilt the scales in your favor. So a part of our religious identity is our ability to interact with people on the basis of fairness, justice, compassion, integrity, reliability, trustworthiness, humility. That is the DNA of a Muslim. And that is why all the ayats that speak about this special class of Muslims focuses almost entirely on character. And Imam Zuhri, a famous scholar, says that kunna na'ti al-alim, that we used to come to scholars to sit and learn from them. And he says, فَمَا نَتَعَلَّمْ مِنْ أَدَبِهِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْنَا مِنْ عِلْمِهِ. He says, we used to come and sit at the feet of scholars, but what we learned from their character was far more valuable to us than what we learned of their knowledge. And the entire spirit of knowledge and approach to knowledge was not to increase the sum total of your increase your information. It was designed for transformation. How did knowledge transform? How does knowledge transform people? And therefore, a great scholar like Imam Zuhri says that we appreciated the character of scholars far more than what they taught us. And therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, made this dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min munkaratil akhlaq. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from the display of bad character, from arrogance, from intolerance, from pride, from vanity. If this was the dua of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much more important is it for us to be conscious and aware of how we conduct ourselves, how we speak to people. Are we honest? Do we fulfill our promises and our pledges? Do we have that compassion to go the extra mile and make a difference in the life of another human being? So, a Muslim or a gentleman is not defined by the content of his wallet or by the cut of his suit that he wears. A gentleman is defined by the content of his character and by the cut of his mannerisms. That is what makes you a gentleman. That is what Islam aspires and hopes to mold the character of every individual. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to personify the character of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and truly understand the word sunnah. The word sunnah is an inclusive term which, speaks about and looks at our character, our conduct, who we are, how we behave and engage with people. That is very much part of the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.